For June 9th. Before we begin, let me go over a few little procedural things since we have a number of visitors with us this evening. First of all, I'd like to ask that all of you silence your cell phones, if you would, out of respect to whoever may be speaking. If you have not attended one of our meetings in the past, our process is that we will call an agenda item. I will ask for those who wish to speak on behalf of the application to come forward and address us. You will address the commission. You'll come up to the podium and state your name and address for the record. And then after you have finished making your points, if you would just wait for a moment to see if there are any questions from any of the commissioners. After that, I will then ask for those who might be wishing to speak in opposition to the application. And when we have heard those, then it will be back to the commission for a motion, discussion, and a vote. And again, let me remind you that we are a recommending body, so when a motion is approved by us, it means that it will be recommended to City Council. All right, our first item of business is approval of the May 12, 2015 work session and regular business minutes. Does anyone have any changes, additions, or deletions to those? If not, may I entertain a motion to accept them as presented?
Madam Chairman, I recommend that we approve the minutes of May 12, 2015.
All right, we have a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor? All right. Our first item on the agenda is application 15-060007. It's a rezoning request. The owner applicant is Ben A. Chavis and Lloyd B. Kreitzer, Waffle House, Inc. Is there someone present who would like to speak in favor of this? Yes, sir, if you'll join us. Yes, and it's on.
Okay. I'm Butch Bauer with Waffle House, 5986 Financial Drive, Norcross, Georgia, 30071. I'm here to answer any questions about our project that might come up, and be happy to assist any way possible.
Okay. Can you give us just sort of a thumbnail sketch of what your proposal is?
Sure. Property is currently being used as a used car. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, it was a gas station. Our proposal is to situate our building so that it is on the far side of the lot facing the ATM machine and the BP gas station next door, I think it's BP, mm-hmm. and open up our parking lot towards the McDonald's. And we'll have one curb cut on the entrance into the shopping center, and we're going to close off the two curb cuts on Rourke Street. And so we'll have a little public safety advantage there. But we'll have all the parking that we need to fit on this site. We've got to get a storm drainage easement with the guy next door, and we just got to formalize our access easement in the shopping center.
Okay. All right. Commissioners, any questions?
Just one quick question. Just curious, is there any cleanup left to do after the gas station having been there?
Yet to be determined. I've already done a little bit of testing there, just ordered some phase two testing to further investigate. Probably we'll have a report in about 10 days, maybe 14 days. So, yeah, still not sure yet. At the outset, it doesn't appear to be, but we just want to be sure.
Okay. But you have had a phase one site assessment then completed?
We've done geotechnical borings for our structural foundation, and then they picked up a little odor of petroleum in those borings, which kind of alerted us to maybe go to phase two. A phase one's kind of a history thing.
Right.
Phase two is a little bit more intensive, so it's money well spent when you find those kind of odors. They do have a no further action letter from DHEC back in 1996, so I kind of rested initially that was going to be okay, but I still want to make sure everything is good before we buy the site.
Absolutely.
You're not anticipating any curb cuts then along York?
No, sir. We're going to close those two off.
Gotcha.
Good. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much. All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak on behalf of this application? All right, is there anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this application? Okay, well, not hearing any, then it will be back to the commission. Commissioners?
Madam Chairman,
yes.
I would move that with regard to application number 15-6007, request for rezoning, that we approve it with the one condition that there would be no curb cuts on York, and he's indicated they're not planning any, and I would make that a condition of my motion.
All right.
I second.
Second. All right. Any discussion? All right, and I'll call for the vote. All in favor? Okay. All right, now this will then go to City Council on June 22nd, and you may wish to attend that. All right, our next item is application 15-23005. It's a revised concept plan review for Harvard's at South Park Shopping Center. The applicant is J.E. Stewart Builders. Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of this application?
My name is Josh Stewart. I represent Stewart Builders and the owner, Tony Sue. My address is 818 Merle Drive, Southwest.
All right. Is there anything you want to, I know you've had a change in this. Is there anything that you want to?
We did have one change. Last minute, we were made aware that there's a sewer line that would cross the back of the proposed addition. So we have amended the application to a 12-foot wide by 79-foot long addition currently, slightly smaller square footage. And the only architectural thing that will change besides the shape would be that one side will be stuccoed to match the one that is in the same plane as the stucco wall towards Fresh Market. The wall that points towards King's Grant would be metal panel since it intersects a metal panel wall.
Commissioners, any questions for Mr. Stewart?
Mr. Stewart, with the addition, is there going to be an additional egress from that south side of the building or any other egress that's going to be added based on the new square footage?
There will not. There's currently 2 4-foot personnel doors going out the rear where you see the driveways on the site plan.
Right.
Those are going to remain. And, yeah, so we'll have the same number, basically.
Okay.
Had any other questions? All right, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on behalf of this application? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to the application? All right, then it's back to the commission for a motion.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we accept this application 15-23005. And under this application has possible conditions with the change that has been made. Number 2 is not applicable any longer, but number 1 would still be applicable. If I'm correct, is that correct?
Yes. All right, so you're just adding number 1?
Correct.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All right, I'll call for the vote. All in favor? Okay, and this will go before council on June 22nd. All right, now we're probably getting to the part that some of the rest of y'all are here for. Okay, our next item is a recommendation regarding the inclusion of Share the Road Sharrows in the Silver Bluff Road Widening Project. Is there anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this?
My name is Tom Lex. I live at 125 Live Oak Road in Aiken. I'm also chairman of the Aiken County Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee. The advisory committee has recommended that shared lane markings be included in the widening project for Silver Bluff. The background is that in about 2010, a decision was made not to include bike lanes because of right-of-way issues and some environmental issues, and we recognize that that decision was made in advance of having an endorsed bicycle pedestrian plan, and we are not advocating changing that decision. The plan did call for wide shoulders to give adequate space for people riding bicycles and even people walking. However, the DOT design does not allow for wide shoulders because it's curb and gutter. Therefore, what we are recommending is the shared lane markings, which consists of approximately 20 markings per mile, equally spaced in each direction of travel. And this recommendation is in line with the what was reviewed by the commission for the SC-19 corridor project for the urban portion of that project, which also included a recommendation to share lane marking. So we feel that our recommendations for the Silver Bluff widening would be right in line with what has been recommended for SC-19, and it would also provide for some traffic calming and a safer situation for people riding bicycles on that section of Silver Bluff.
All right. Commissioners, any questions?
Mr. Lex, I think obviously one of the biggest considerations is safety, and I think you just, could you expand on that? You'd mentioned that you thought this might actually create safer conditions.
Correct.
The Sherilyn.
Without those markings on the road, there's no indication as it comes off of a four-lane section of Silver Bluff and then narrows down, it'll be a two traffic lanes, one turning lane. So there is a narrowing there. There is no margin for a person on a bicycle to get out of the way with the curb and gutter and get out of the way safely as they would have with a shoulder. So with the share the lane markings equally spaced, it tells motor vehicle operators all along that section that they need to expect people on bicycles and that people on bicycles have a right to be on the road. So with that, it increases their attention level, and in that sense, it will make it safer for people on bikes.
In our work session earlier, we were trying to get a handle on what bicycle traffic is in this area. Could you maybe enlighten us on that about, you know, if you could just ballpark how often that's used by bicyclists and so forth?
I really can't address that. That's not one of the road segments that was included where we did bike counts. We've done a number of bike and pedestrian counts. That segment was not. I do know a number of cyclists who do ride that. Personally, I ride that 5 days a week. And so I know what the situation is there, but there are other people who ride bicycles that use that. And really the objective of the bicycle pedestrian plan is to make improvements so that it encourages more people to get out on bicycles when they feel that it's safe to do that. So as any time that we take on one of these road improvement projects, that is the time at the beginning or part of the project is to take on the bicycle and walking infrastructure, because doing it as a backfit later on is generally going to be more costly and it's not going to be something that people are going to want to do. So it's better to include it, even if we have to do it 1 mile at a time, so that we ultimately get a network of connectivity for biking and walking.
Mr. Lex, from your experience in working with the Arts Council and so forth, are you aware what the funding situation is? Is there funding to do this?
The scope of the project, what DOT intends to do is issue a bid package around the middle of July, and the intent would be to incorporate this as part of the scope of that bid package. And clearly, once they get the final bids in, then they'll know what the final cost is to see where that comes out with what's been budgeted. But for this, if you go into the bicycle pedestrian plan, there are unit rate numbers in there that were given by the consultant that developed that plan based on national averages. And generally, for share the lane markings, they run around $6,500 per mile. Right. So you figure 2 miles because you have each direction. So you're talking on the order of about $13,000. And so they'd have to include that in the bid spec and see where that comes out in terms of the total project budget.
Okay. All right. Any other questions from the
person? Yes.
Did you say that, Mr. Lex, that you ride that area on your own bicycle?
5 days a week.
How have you found the motorists in terms of safety and courtesy?
It depends on the time of day. I will tell you this, that while most of that section, the major part of that is posted at 35 miles an hour, there are a lot of people that don't pay attention to that speed limit.
Right.
And I've also found that with it being as narrow as it is and there's no turning lane, so when I need to move over to make a left-hand turn and I signal my turn, many times people will not stop for me to make my left turn, and they will instead swing out wider and pass me on the left. So it's a very dangerous situation right now that clearly does not encourage people who are very nervous riding in traffic to ride that section. And when you do ride it, you just have to ride it with a lot of care and pay a lot of attention.
Thank you.
I was going to bring that out and ask you that specifically, and just want to reiterate it, that you're a very seasoned rider, obviously, and down in that area 5 days a week, if not more. But it definitely would be dangerous, because that's our concern right now is the danger. And so it would definitely, in your opinion, be dangerous for maybe a less seasoned rider to be in that area specifically during different times of the day.
In the current configuration, I will say that in the design which adds the turning lane, the combination of having that turning lane where people can swing out to give room to a cyclist and the share the lane markings to say, heads up, there is a cyclist on the road or there could be a cyclist on the road, it will be a lot safer condition once the widening project is completed, as well as with the indicators there that there can be bicycles on the road. In the current situation, you don't have that extra turning lane where people can swing out and give room. Instead, they try to squeeze by with the oncoming traffic and the cyclists. So that situation will be alleviated with the project as currently configured.
Okay.
Thank you. The turning lane is not going to be the entire way, is it? Or is it?
I believe it is the entire way.
Okay, so it's going to be the entire 3 miles out to
Richardson Lake.
Richardson Lake.
Right.
The turning lane is going to be the entire way. Okay. These road markers you're talking about are going to go out to Richardson Lake.
Correct.
And then stop.
Right.
You're not necessarily saying they should be beyond Richardson Lake.
Not at this point, no. Because beyond that point, the calls for wide shoulders. So anytime if there were a road improvement project beyond that point,
right,
then we should be looking at putting wide shoulders in. But that's not part of the scope of this project.
Well, I support bicyclists out there if it's planned and put in the shoulders, and that's what I would like to see, is 4 to 6 foot shoulders just designed in, planned in, built in, and made a part of the road.
Right.
Short of that, these markings are, according to the South Carolina Department of Transportation, they're not intended as a replacement for bike lanes or bike lane symbols.
Right.
And should only be used in circumstances where designated bike lanes are not possible.
Okay, let me address that, and I'll tell you why they've made that statement, and I believe it's to stay consistent with their original position back in 2010, where they stated then that the city had to provide justification for taking the bike lanes out. And the city's justification at that point was because of environmental and right-of-way issues, purchasing right-of-way, things like that, and that the city would support bicycle and walking infrastructure as long as it did not impact the easement or the right-of-way. So clearly what we're proposing now has no impact on right-of-way because it's paint on the road, and it falls right in line with previous justification that the city gave the DOT, but DOT is not willing to back off of their original position that said bike lanes should have been in there.
Yeah.
So it leaves us in a catch-22 if you're a person who rides a bicycle.
In addition to that, under the Aiken County Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan, and I'm quoting here, on shared roadways, bicyclists and motor vehicles use the same roadway space. These vehicles are typically used on roads with low speeds and traffic volumes. However, they can be used on higher volume roads with wide outside lanes or shoulders, neither of which is available here. And that's where my problem is. I believe in the bicycle community. I believe in using the bicycles, but I can't support it, a situation like this, where you are putting markings there in a tremendously busy, busy two-lane road. And even with the three, it's not going to decrease the usage. It may increase the usage. And it's going to be, and people do not follow the speed limit, rightly or wrongly. They don't. And it's going to, people are going, if they start using it more, you're an experienced guy. If more and more people start using it, more and more people are going to die out there. And that is just, for me personally, my personal opinion, I can't sanction that by putting this lane marker out, this Shero out there. I just can't get there from here. And I understand where you're coming from.
And I would answer that to say, people are going to ride that, and you don't put the Shero lane marking there, they're at higher risk. And what we're trying to do is encourage people to get on their bikes and ride. People will still make a decision one way or another, their own risk decision, whether they're going to ride it. Mm-hmm. And people will still ride it. And it's not going to be as safe for them if you don't have the share the lane markings with the notification to drivers that bicycles are on the road and bicycles have a right to be on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be an imprudent action not to put the share the lane markings there.
Mm-hmm. See, I think by putting the Sheros there, you're indirectly condoning.
You have a question?
The action. We're just interacting here. I'm trying to get more information. And,
I was trying to encourage you to hear everything before you state your opinion.
So I was just going to ask, in your opinion, that you do see this as just as a method of trying to increase awareness.
Correct.
That the bicyclists are there. And these are better than separate signs?
The problem with separate signs are good in a non-urban environment. Mm-hmm. When you're out on country roads, you have fewer entry and exit points. So when you have a sign at the beginning and people are on that road and they see it, there's not as much opportunity for new vehicles to join that traffic flow. Mm-hmm. So furthermore, when you're in an urban environment, there's a lot more things that people are seeing, so they don't see the signs. When it's on the road, unless they're looking down at their cell phone and texting and all that, but if they're driving, they're seeing those markings on the road, and it gives them that extra warning, I've got to slow down, I've got to be safe, I've got to give room to that bicycle rider on the road.
So with or without those shared markings, people are going to ride on that road.
Correct.
And in your opinion, without those shared markings, it's going to be a lot more dangerous.
Correct.
Okay.
And just one more question, Mr. Lex. The area from Robert M. Bell Parkway down Pine Log Road East near Citizens Park, there's a wide path on the side of the road, on the north side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a lane for a vehicle to go down, but it's pedestrian traffic and bikes and that kind of thing. Does the bicycle community use those in those particular areas to make it safer for them rather than, like, say, ride down Pine Log Road?
You say the bicycle community. There is no one community. It's made up of multiple communities. There are people who ride their bikes for day-to-day transportation. There are people who are occasional bike riders that just go out for a ride, and they will ride that. There are other people who are riding their bikes primarily on the road for over long distances. So depending on which of those categories you're talking about, you can't just generalize. I will say that particular path, it does have a part in the overall bicycle pedestrian plan if we can get connectivity to it. The other thing that we need to do is be a lot better at policing that, so because there is a lot of debris, broken glass. It's too close. Right now, we would never recommend building a path like that close to the road. Not because we're so concerned about vehicles, you know, going off the road and hitting a walker or a person riding a bike, but it's so close that a lot of people are throwing beer bottles and trash and whatnot, so that that path actually becomes unsafe when you have that debris for, you know, cutting tires, people getting flats and whatnot, and trying to avoid that debris. But if we are able to police that a little bit better, maybe clean it a little better, but get connectivity, because right now it doesn't really get people to anywhere. And so part of our plan is to connect communities, connect schools, connect parks. And that will definitely play into connectivity once we get some other road routes established that people want to ride on.
Thank you. It just helps me as a planning commissioner member right. to think about in the future, because that is to me it seems like, and of course I'm ignorant, you can tell I don't ride a bike very often, but it means something to me to know that people could use that.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? All right, thank you, Mr. Lex. All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak on behalf of this request? Yes, sir.
Richard McCormick, 1330 Richardson Lake Road. I want to emphasize what he's saying is absolutely true. I drive that road for 12 years, and bicycle riders are taking their lives in their hands. He's absolutely true. I encourage you to get behind and promote whatever widening needs to be done to make bicycling safe.
Thank you. Appreciate the brevity. Any questions? Good thing. All right. Anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this request? All right. Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to this request?
Good evening. My name is Greg Hoffman. I live at 153 Sterling Grove Circle in Aiken. And I'm here to represent, as a member of the Board of Directors of the Woodside Plantation Property Owners Association and the rest of the board members that are here, I'm here to represent the board tonight. I have some information that relates to this. We took a look at it very closely. As was previously said, showers were conceived in the early 2000s for the purpose of raising motorist awareness of bicycles in the traffic stream, increasing separation between cars and bicycles, and precluding wrong-way cycling and cycling on sidewalks, which is dangerous to pedestrians. There have been a number of studies done with regard to these traffic markings, and I'll cite some of the results of those studies. A study was done in Vancouver, British Columbia. Canada has implemented a number of these things. And they did a study that was related to cycling injuries. And they concluded, and I quote, infrastructure that pairs cyclists with either motor vehicles, i.e. shared lanes or showers, or pedestrians, sidewalks or multi-use paths, offered no protection. And shared lanes and sidewalks were associated with increases in odds of injury for cyclists. That was the conclusion. Now, that increase was not all that statistically significant, but there was a difference. I also ran across an interesting news article from the Los Angeles Times from last year, quoted, shared lanes cause confusion. And they had very extreme difficulties with folks unaccustomed to the markings and their meanings. And the police didn't even know people were being pulled over for riding their bicycles in the shower, along the shallows. I just throw that out there because I thought it was an interesting article. There was also a federal study done by the Department of Transportation Federal Highway Administration. And it was done in three cities around the United States, one in Cambridge, Massachusetts, one in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and one in Seattle, Washington. The one in Seattle was most closely resembling the situation that we will have on Silver Bluff Road. I picked some of the statistics out of that study. It's about a 65-page study, and it's very detailed. And some of it was not necessarily relevant to what we're talking about here today, but some of the things that they were able to glean from their study was that safe overtaking of cyclists increased minimally from 94% to 98% in the areas that they studied. They also discovered that 94% of the cyclists rode over the showers. In other words, they treated it as a bike lane. And there was a significant increase in avoidance maneuvers over the period of the study. And the percentage of cyclists who yielded to cars decreased significantly from 23% to only 7%. There was no change in passing and following percentages, and when motorists passed cyclists, they almost always, as was previously stated, almost always moved partially into the opposing lane. In this case, that would be the new turning lane that's proposed for this project. And there were significant increases in cyclists doing what they call taking the lane or occupying the center of the roadway. For purposes of description of how the sharrows are placed, they're required to be a minimum of 4 feet from the edge of the pavement on streets with no pavement or with no parking on the side, an outside lane less than 14 feet wide. So in this case, the shower would have to be placed a minimum of 4 feet from the side of the road, and they're a little over 3 feet wide, so the end of it would be more than 7 feet into the roadway from the side of the roadway. The South Carolina Traffic Engineering Guide says the shower should be installed in the travel way in a manner that minimizes the portion of the marking falling into the vehicle wheel path. And also, federal guidance indicates that shared lane markings should not be placed in roadways that have a speed limit above 35 miles an hour. And for those who are not aware, the length of this project is about a mile, and about halfway into that mile, the speed limit changes from 35 miles an hour to 45 miles an hour, so it exceeds that limit. Additionally, you saw up on the Aiken County Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan from 2012. It states that in constrained conditions, preferred placement is in the center of the travel lane. So, not necessarily would they not only be 7 feet into the lane, might be in the middle of the lane. Depends on how it's determined how to do that. And it also states that a motor vehicle driver would usually have to cross into the adjacent lane to pass a bicyclist unless a wide outside lane or shoulder was provided. So based on these factors, we took a look at the situation and believed that the project would cause the following. It would potentially cause cyclists to ride close to the center of the travel lane and impede traffic flow and necessarily maybe even cause a safety issue because they're in potentially close to the middle of the road. And it would also potentially somewhat defeat the purpose of the widening project by causing increased avoidance maneuvering into the new turn lane, thereby impeding flow, which is what the purpose of the whole thing was to begin with anyway, was to create the kind of traffic flow that was necessary on that road to alleviate the problems that are had during lots of times during the day when people try to turn and it backs up. It also would exceed the federal guidance on speed limits used for sharrows, and I quoted that earlier, and cause safety concerns as cyclists take the lane more often. It's also not congruent with any other bicycle lanes or markings or anything else similar to that preceding or following the project itself. So it would be 1 mile in the middle of a series of other roads that have no markings, no lanes. The preceding section of Silver Bluff Road is 4 lanes wide, and there's plenty of room there to maneuver, and it has a turning lane in the middle of it. After that, as you proceed down towards 278, it's very, very narrow, and it's very windy, and it's a difficult road. I've encountered cyclists out there before, and drivers just have to be heads up about what they see out there with cyclists. And that's all I have to point out at this particular time.
Okay. And let me confirm, please. You are presenting this information on behalf of the board,
yes,
of the Woodside Homeowners Association.
Yes.
It's not a personal...
It's both.
And I understand, but I mean, you are speaking.
It's both, but yes, I am. I'm a member of the board.
Okay. All right. Questions, commissioners?
So you said that you've encountered cyclists on the road before and you have to keep a heads up yourself. What do you do when you encounter a cyclist and you have to...
It depends on how far into the road they are. Either I slow down and follow them until either I have to turn or they have to turn, or if there's enough room to maneuver around them, I maneuver around them. But typically... if there's a double yellow line, I can't cross the line into the oncoming traffic lane, or I wouldn't, and out on that road there are lots of blind turns and those type of things, so I wouldn't dare to do that anyway. So, and I'm not opposed to bicyclists, don't get me wrong, please. I think bicycling is great. I'm a longtime runner and athlete and those kind of things, and I believe in fitness, and I think it's an important thing. But I think, as the previous speaker mentioned, it has to be part of an overall plan that connects a lot of different things together and not just a 1 mile of roadway out there all by itself. Because what does the bicyclist or the motorist do when they get to the other end and all of a sudden they're squeezed down and everything continues but there are no markings and nothing else really makes much sense out there? So those were the points that I wanted to make.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
I just have
questions?
A real question.
Yes.
Mr. Hoffman, in your research, there's a little nugget I was trying to go back to. Did the center lane statistically make things safer or unsafer? I didn't quite catch that. I think in your remarks you mentioned something about some of that research was done.
The center lane, there were two references to the center lane. One is from the bicycle and pedestrian plan, and the other one is from the federal study. And the federal study said that when people encountered bicycles in the Sharrow zone, that they routinely crossed into the oncoming or the turn lane in order to avoid them or to get around them, to pass them, for instance. So they did find that Sharrows did increase the separation between bicycles and motor vehicles, but it was because the bicyclists are now further into the road and there's a marking there that they ride down, and so motorists have to go into the next lane, whether it's a turn lane or it's the oncoming traffic lane. Obviously, if it's a turn lane, it's easier to do, but the reason we're adding the turn lane here is so that we don't congest traffic and have other issues down there. Some of the original proposals, and I give a lot of credit to the bicycle and pedestrian planning folks, they pushed very hard to get a shoulder down there. There was originally a plan for a shoulder. They also wanted a bike lane. That would have been terrific, but it's not happening. So we think this other solution, albeit interesting, does provide some propose some safety issues. Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hoffman, I was not under the impression that the bicycle emblem in the road was the spot at which a cyclist would ride.
Not necessarily, but the federal study indicated that a large 94% of the cyclists rode over the Sharrows in their study. So they followed the Sharrows down the road, whether they were in the middle or off to the side.
And you do know that this is only 1 mile of a 12-mile plan.
I understand.
Okay.
The fact that it's only 1 mile, in your view, almost makes it worse, because what happens when they get to the end of that mile?
That was my point.
And that's the point he's making, which I think is a very valid point. There's no connection there.
And as I said, there is a plan that has greater connectivity throughout the city, and an opportunity to have a shoulder or a dedicated bike lane, as was originally proposed, I think is the way to go. I don't think this provides any more safety, and that was proven in the studies that I cited.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Thank you very much for your comments. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? I'll come right back to you. It's hard for all of us over here to see. We're just having a little difficulty catching every nuance, and we wanted to see if we could move that out of the way.
Staring at it.
It's right in front of everybody's face. It is. Well, I'm sorry I've imposed a highly technical.
Maybe Mr. B.
I should be able to follow this.
You stand on your tiptoes.
Stuart, do you have the magic touch?
Yes. He works it more than anyone else. So. Great, I was going to break it.
There we go.
There's a secret one.
Okay, Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All right, now, sir, you may proceed.
Good evening. My name is Peter Messina. I live at 1005 Anderson Mill Road in Aiken, in Woodside Plantation. Just as a real quick background, I'm a licensed professional engineer. I was actually a city engineer in a city very similar to Aiken in New Jersey. I spent most of my life in a room like this. I have extensive experience in design and construction of bike lanes, bike ways, bike routes. I think built over 10 miles of bike ways and a big supporter of that. However, as a professional engineer, I have an extreme problem with what is being proposed this evening. I believe that bike ways should be separated from traffic. They should be in a separate bike lane off this to the side. The best thing that I always promoted was a bike way, which is 10 feet off the road, like you have at Whiskey Road by Odell Weeks. It's wonderful. You're off the road. You can have all the time and not worry about conflicts. Here you're putting two things that should not be together, and you're giving the bicyclist a false sense of security that I'm in my lane here, I can see my lane, and he doesn't really have to worry. He can actually be farther into the road than he really should be. And I feel that's a real problem where cars will go way out of their way to get around those bicyclists and veer into oncoming traffic or get into that middle lane, which is could be problematic if there's someone in there making a left turn lane. So the conflicts we try to do from a traffic engineering point of view is to minimize conflicts, and I think here you are exacerbating it. Also, if this Sharrow is 4 to 6 feet into the travel way, I don't know the width of the lane in each direction. I was hoping to get a set of plans here about the scale. There's no plans. I couldn't find them in Town Hall. So if the width of the lane is less than 16 feet wide, which it probably is, the lanes are normally 11, 12 feet wide, you're going to have this Sharrow really pretty much in the middle of this travel lane, which I feel would, again, give a false sense of security to the bicyclist to move farther into the bike lane than it should. Also, in terms of the markings themselves, they're going to be, I think it's 40 inches wide by 9 feet long. Probably a good probability is that they'll be made out of thermoplastic pavement markings. They're very slippery. Normally you have them, I've designed them and put them at stop bars, and sometimes people take off at a red light or a green light and it's raining out and they spin their wheels. Here, if it's almost 4 feet by 9 feet and you jam on your brakes in rain, you're going to go sliding. So I'm really concerned about having 20 or more of those along this 1 mile stretch in the rain. And if they're not thermoplastic, they're going to be regular paint, and you're going to have tire marks. The right side of the tire marks are going to go over them, and you're going to have this unsightly half a Sharrow sitting there, which is not going to be right. I think the best thing to do is I've seen many different types of share the road signs. They can be nicely done and more in a way that can get your attention versus a bland traffic type sign. If you can make it more of an attractive sign that'll catch your attention to share the road, I'm a big supporter of that, but it has to be done in a safe manner. So I think the best thing to do is, if you can't do it right, really make sure you do it safely, and I don't feel a Sharrow is safe. Thank you.
Any questions, commissioners? Okay, thank you very much. All right, is there anyone else? Sir, I believe you had your hand up.
I'm William Lynn, and I live at 308 Huntington Court in Woodside Plantation. And I really have a question for Mr. Hoffman. You said you were a board member. Are you here representing the board and therefore the homeowners? Are you representing the board or yourself?
As I mentioned, I'm representing myself. I mentioned that I was a member of the board.
Well, that's why I asked for clarification, because we initially understood that you were representing the board.
Yeah.
That was the question you asked.
I did.
And as a homeowner, I'm concerned that it came across as he was representing me, and I'm in favor of what they're proposing, and that concerned me that you said you were representing the board, which represents me. That was my question.
Okay. So then, as a point of clarification, then, Mr. Hoffman, you are not representing the homeowners of Woodside, the board. Did your board take a vote?
I agree with the president of the homeowners association.
All right. Yes, sir. You may come and join up here.
Well, I'd like the answer to your question is, did they have a vote? And have they asked the residents of Woodside?
No, we have not asked the residents of Woodside.
And did the board vote on it?
The board did, but we are elected representatives of the residents of Woodside.
Okay. All right. As a resident, I would say I'm in favor of what they are proposing and have a little bit of problem, since no one's asked residents how we feel about the road improvements and the proposal. So that's my concern about it.
Well, I understand that now, understanding homeowner association law. When you do vote in representatives, they are allowed to make some decisions on your behalf without consulting you on every decision. And it's my understanding that is what happened, that the board did take a vote on this position?
That is correct. And by the way, there are 6 board members here this evening, and we're all here for the same reason. So, yes, we did.
Okay. All right. Well, that does make a difference as we consider this in terms of whether it's a one individual's point of view or if you're representing many. So that was the reason I asked the question.
I believe what Mr. Hawkins said was he was representing himself as a resident, but also as a member of the board.
At the board. That is what we heard. Okay. That is correct.
All right.
Thank you for that clarification. I'm sorry. Can you get your name and address for the record?
My name is Larry Wittenmeyer. I live at 568 West Pleasant Colony Drive in Aiken in Woodside Plantation. And
thank
I am
you.
The president of the Woodside Plantation Property Owners Association.
Right. And just as a point of clarification, since you officially identified yourself for the record, tell us again, did you have a board meeting and the board meeting discuss this issue? Could you explain that to us?
Yes, we did. It was actually at one of our work sessions because of the immediacy of this particular meeting, and yes, we did. And as I mentioned, there are 6 board members here this evening. We have a total board of 9, so we have a quorum here. The other 3 just couldn't be here, that's all.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thank you. But quorum or not, you can't have another meeting right here.
Only if we're going to declare a dividend. That's not like
only if you share with the commission.
Yes, right.
No, actually, no. All right. Thank you very much for that clarification. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to this request? All right. There is one item I do want to enter into the record according to our procedures. Mr. Paradise has received an email with a request that it be shared for the record. I'll read it into the record, and then I'll give it to you to address. Dear Mr. Paradise, I'll be leaving town tomorrow morning and therefore unable to attend the public hearing regarding Sharrows being installed on Silver Bluff Road. I wish to state my vehement objection to this idea. We should not be encouraging bicyclists to use busy state highways, especially one as busy as Silver Bluff Road. The city has already had one bad experience with instituting bike lanes. Please do not allow another one to occur. I would also like to point out that despite the multiple signs that have been posted regarding this issue, no one I have talked to understands what is being proposed, i.e. they do not know what Sharrows are. Because this idea is being camouflaged with a description that is not understood by the public at large, there is some doubt to whether this public hearing is even legal. I have talked with numerous people, and when I explain what's being proposed, everyone is against this idea. If it were properly understood, I firmly believe there is no doubt I could deliver a petition with the names of hundreds of people opposed to this idea. Respectfully submitted, Michael McComb. All right, so that will be entered into the record. All right, is there anyone else that would like to be heard on this issue? All right, then it is back to the commission for a motion, discussion, and a vote.
Madam Chairman, I would move that we recommend to City Council that they not request that SCDOT install share the lane markings or Sharrows on both travel lanes of Silver Bluff Road between Richardson's Lake Road and Indian Creek Trail. where they're widening the road to have center lane.
Okay. Is there a second?
Madam Chairman, could I ask for an amendment?
Certainly.
Mr. Hunter, would it be possible to amend your proposal by giving City Council a bit of background about why you made that particular proposal?
Of course.
In that the Commission is not against cycling, for one thing, and City Council has had a proclamation in the spirit of encouraging bicycling in the city of Aiken, but that we just feel this particular part of town in this particular area on this particular road is a safety issue.
Okay, I would certainly agree to amend, including those comments, and stating even further that there are four specific ideas that I have picked up from the conversation tonight and hearing from the people that have spoken. One issue is the traffic flow. I believe this would not help traffic flow. It would hurt traffic flow. There is a 45-mile-an-hour limit out there at some point. It starts 45, and we don't do sheros over 35 areas where it's over 35 miles an hour in an area. This does not connect. There is no connection here between this bicycle path and any other bicycling path. This, according to the traffic engineer who spoke, that would create an increased number of conflicts between vehicles and bicyclists, not decrease those. And I would even go on the record to say I'm in favor of bicycle paths done by roadway shoulders and or a separate bicycle path. I'm in favor of that.
Are you making that part of the motion?
Making that part of the motion. But in this case.
All right.
Is it possible to add that we would recommend that there at least be signage for that portion of the road? Because it is a dangerous portion of the road. And even though some people don't pay attention to those signs, there are those that do.
You mean a sign, like you're talking about like a traffic sign?
That says
on the side of the road.
That say cyclist ahead.
I wouldn't have any objection to that. I don't know what SCDOT's rules or regulations about that are. I wouldn't mind putting that in our proposal that we go to them and ask about
it. There needs to be something.
Okay. All right. Can you restate in summary your motion for the record?
Okay. Restating the motion with regard to the proposal here, I would... In addition to the comments which Scubbage has made and which I have made, that we ask the City Council not to request that SCDOT install share lane markings on our sheros on both lanes of Silver Buck Road, as we have talked about.
Okay. All right. Do we have a second?
If my comments have been captured, yes. I will second them.
Yes, I'm sure they will be. All right. Any discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion? You're just in time. All right. John, I couldn't see through. What was... Okay. All right. So this motion carries. The next...
Opposed.
Opposed. What?
Is that 5-2?
Were you in favor of the motion? Well, you didn't hear the motion. Can we restate the motion one more time? That all the commissioners can vote. Can we restate it one more time?
Restate the motion?
Yes, so that...
Well, the motion, Charles, after there was some comments from myself and Mr. Gubbage about the... We are in support of bicycle lanes. We do are not opposed to people riding bicycles on roadways. But we would, as far as this specific proposal is concerned, that we would recommend to the city that the city not install request to SCDOT that they install share the lane markings or sheros on this particular roadway.
Okay, and so now the vote was 5 in favor of the motion and 1 in opposition of the motion.
Favor.
You're in favor?
Yes.
All right, so we'll record it as 6-1. All right. This will go to City Council at their next meeting on June 22nd. So those of you who either for or against may want to be present at that meeting for further discussion. All right, and our last item for this evening is the amendment to the Downtown Business Zoning District, DB, relative to building height. Anyone who would like to speak in favor of this proposed amendment? The proposed amendment, the recommendation is to alter it from 50 feet to 75 feet in height as permissible.
Thank you. I'm Wade Brody, live at 422 York Street, Southeast, and I'm chairman of the Aiken Corporation and serve on the Downtown Development Board, both of which are charged with the development of the downtown. We're pleased with what we've got. We've worked on it for 20 years or so. I think the proposed ceiling height would be a beneficial tool for these two groups to work with, so I recommend your approval. Thank
you. All right. Any questions for Mr. Brody?
Mr. Brody, the Aiken Corporation and the Downtown Development Association and so forth, were there any concerns voiced during your meetings about change in aesthetics if we went from 50 to 75?
I'm not hearing, I'm sorry.
I was wondering if the folks that you represent, Aiken Corporation, Downtown Development Association, if during your discussions anything came up about changing the aesthetics of downtown, if we went from 50 to 75 feet, would you have any concerns about that?
Yeah, that is a concern. And I think in the planning process has been addressed. What really brought this about, I guess everybody knows, was a request from the hotel. And they have shown other locations where this has been done, and as far as they've met with the design review board, so they are addressing those issues. And to me, tall doesn't have to be ugly. If you go to Charleston, you can see what you can do with aesthetics.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Brody? Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this request? All right. Is there anybody who would like to speak in opposition?
Good evening. I'm Randy Walcott. I live at 221 Third Avenue. Here in Aiken. I've lived here for 25 years and I love this town. I love the history and the traditions of this town and the work that's been done to keep the downtown a wonderful place to be. I spend a lot of time downtown. I work downtown. And I think Aiken is a very special place. I represent it as a real estate broker. And love to show people this quaint town that we have. I think that it's a mistake to increase the height over the tree height. I used to be a landscaper trade for many years in town, and so I know a lot about landscape. I am also on the board of the Hitchcock Woods Foundation for 16 years and know about the traditions and the and things that make Aiken important. And I think having the downtown exceed these heights is going to change the character of this town, and I would be very much against that. I just mentioned that Mr. Brody was talking about Charleston. They've gone so far as to have the those big ships downtown now, so when you're in a beautiful market area, all you see is that huge tower of the cruise ship sticking up, which I don't think is quite
a benefit to the town, and unfortunately they haven't been able to change that because they let the camel's nose out of the tent, apparently. So thank you, Peter.
Any questions for Mr. Walcott? All right. Thank you, Andy. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition of this request?
I'm Martin Buckley. I live on Two Knots Road in Aiken. I think that it is not in our best interest to raise the height limit. We should fill out nicely where we are. We have no need to do that. Looking at the list of other towns that have no limit, and North Augusta, Greenwood, Florence, Anderson, no limit. Do we want to be like that? Is that what we desire to be? I think that looking at that list, the one I like best is Camden. So perhaps we should consider lowering our limit. I think that would perhaps be as good a thing to do as fiddling around and trying to make it greater. I think that we... using the examples of people that have no limits or is not a very good way to go about this discussion. No limits, no standards, whatever. I think we should try hard with what we got and see what we can do. Thank you very much.
Any questions from the commissioners? Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition of this request? All right. Not hearing any, then it will be back to the commission for a motion or discussion. Wait, yes, I do. Sorry. Thank you. I have been gently reminded that we had two other letters that need to go into the minutes as well. Mr. Paradise has received two emails. One says, I would like to voice my opposition on changing the building heights in downtown Aiken. I feel this change would forever destroy the cozy old-time atmosphere that Aiken now has. Taller buildings lend themselves to a more imposing and impersonal atmosphere and look. Who wants to see a building looming over the rest of the old downtown area? It would be completely out of character for the surrounding neighborhood. Aiken does not need to start adopting a big city atmosphere. If this happens, Aiken will cease to be the unique and charming place it has always been. Sincerely, Miss Terry Lee Young. The next one is, Dear Planning Commission, in regards to tonight's meeting of the Planning Commission discussing the possibility of raising the building heights from 50 feet to 75 feet, I feel this would be a mistake for downtown Aiken as it would take away from our small town atmosphere, which is such a unique quality. By raising the height, you are encouraging more of the same to happen. This action would forever change the face of our lovely downtown. How could you even consider supporting this venture when we already have two lovely downtown hotels, the Wilcox and the Carriage House Inn, which are privately funded and maintained? You need to concentrate your efforts on encouraging and promoting small businesses rather than creating tall buildings. Sincerely, Wetzel. All right, those are now entered in the record, and it's back to the commission.
Madam Chairman, in reference to the memorandum, and I hope I'm addressing this correctly, and please correct me if I'm not, but in reference to the Planning Commission memorandum from Tommy Paradise, would be reference to the amendments to the Downtown Business Zoning District. I'd like to make a motion that we would increase the maximum height from 50 feet to 75 feet and make that recommendation to City Council.
I second that motion. All right, any discussion?
I know we've been talking a lot about, in the letters and some of our discussions in the work session, about downtown business And I think a lot of us have been very troubled by it. Several businesses that are going out of business downtown on Lawrence Street. We've been reading about those in the papers. And we're going to have, very sadly, some extra empty storefronts, which, like I said, greatly troubles me. I lived right down Hayne Avenue for 14 years, and Lawrence Street was my backyard. I guess I'm just struggling a little bit with potentially, creating new space and potentially a lot of new space, adding another floor or two, when we're going to have a lot of empty storefronts as it is. So I'm a little troubled thinking that perhaps we might encourage new space when we can't fill our existing space.
I understand what you're saying. And as somebody who's lived in Aiken for 34 years and used to come
so
here...
So what you are.
I am the brand's going to swallow that. But anyway, and I used to come here with my dad when I was really young, when I was 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, because he used to... be the accountant for Julia's. So I would come down even as a little girl to Aiken. It was always a fond place to come and place to visit. Who knew I would end up living here, but there you go. Aiken is charming and Aiken is special. I have a friend coming from Minneapolis on Monday and I can't wait to show him what Aiken is and why people come here and why they stay here and why it is so charming. But at the same time, I want to see Aiken grow. I hate to see those businesses moving out. And I think unless you have space for people to park and a reason for people to come here, they're going to quit coming and the businesses are going to go out. It depends on all of you who live in Aiken to come to downtown Aiken. We mentioned that sometimes the only time we visit downtown Aiken is when we have visitors. And if that's the only time you're coming downtown, but we need more parking, we need more and modern places for people to stay. Yes, we have the Wilcox. That a lot of people can't afford to stay at the Wilcox downtown, or the Carriage House, quite frankly. So we need to make Aiken affordable and attractive and welcoming for all sorts of people. And I think. I don't see buildings being torn down and huge buildings being built in their place in downtown Aiken. And I believe that the building in question is, like they said, has gone to the Design and Review Board. There haven't been any major issues with that, and it's going to be aesthetically pleasing. I have no issue with any change.
All right. Any other comments?
I think most people realize this, but essentially what we're doing is really only adding about a story.
That's right.
One more story. It's not like we're adding 15 stories here. We're basically going just one more story. Might encourage development and might not. I don't think it's going to hurt the ambiance of downtown Aiken. I mean, I've been around Aiken for 60 years. Growth is part of it, planning is part of it, and I think this is in the process it will work, I think.
Well, our jobs really are about maintaining the balance between how we continue to support the ambiance and the character of Aiken with providing the opportunity for businesses to not only survive, but thrive so that we can continue to have the ambiance that we love. So having said that, we have a motion that has been appropriately seconded. If there's no other discussion, I'll call for the vote. All in favor of the motion is presented. All right. So 6-1. One opposition. All right. This will also go to City Council on June 22nd. If those of you who have an interest in it want to be heard again, that's where you need to go. There being no further business before us, this meeting is adjourned.